Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one of you here. I trust that you've been praying for the service today and your heart has been set toward the Lord throughout this past week. And that's what we need, is to think about the Lord each and every day. I want to speak to you this morning for a few moments, if the Lord will bless us, on the subject of atonement as explained in Genesis chapter 6. But don't turn to Genesis chapter 6 yet. Look in Exodus chapter 29 and verse 33. Let me read this verse, and this verse is not going to make any sense at all to you, almost. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 33. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate and sanctify them, but a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. Now that verse probably doesn't mean a whole awful lot to you just reading that verse by itself, does it? Now there's a reason that I wanted to read that verse. Amongst people that claim to know how to study the Bible and how to interpret the Bible, there's a rule called the law of first mention. And you come across a word, and most of the time in the scriptures, the first time a word is used, there's enough explanation for it that you understand what the word means. So this verse here, Exodus chapter 29 and verse 33, is the very first time that we see our English word atonement. You say, well, that's good. Except I don't understand what it means. Well, let me help you a little bit. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And in Hebrew, the word that is translated atonement here in this passage that we just read to you, that word is actually, a Hebrew word is actually found first over in Genesis chapter 6. So now let's go over to Genesis chapter 6. And when we get to Genesis chapter 6, now y'all don't let me forget that I'm going to show you the word atonement here in just a little bit, Lord willing. Y'all don't let me forget that. That's what our goal is, to understand what the atonement is. And I think you'll see this and understand when we see the first Hebrew use of that word atonement. But let's look here in Genesis chapter 6 at the occasion. And when you begin Genesis chapter 6 in the time of Noah, it talks about the great wickedness that was in the world at that time. If you look down in verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, this sounds like a bad time, doesn't it? In Noah's day and time, God looked down, and every thought that mankind had was evil. Now, notice the Lord didn't tell us that he looked down, and behold, the thought of everybody that didn't go to church was only evil continually. He said everybody's thought was evil. I'm kind of reminded of the day we live in right now. I don't know about you, but my thoughts are only evil continually. And I keep telling people all the time, you wouldn't let me stand up here if you knew how often I want to take a 2x4 and slap somebody upside the head. You know, there's a lot of evil going on in this world, in my life, in my mind, and everybody. And God knows that, and he sees all that. And God saw all the wickedness in the face of the earth. Now, remember in Bible times, the timing of things was a little bit different. You know, when you get into Genesis, and you read, you know, about here is Cain and Abel being born. And we think that, you know, when that day that Cain slew Abel, you know, that was just you know, just happened not long after they had been born, you know, and there was just Adam and Eve and those two upon the face of the earth. No, that was years and years down the road, because there was multitudes of men already that had been born in the world at that time. Because you remember when Cain was receiving his punishment from the Lord after he had murdered his brother, he said, every man that finds me is going to want to kill me. Where'd those men come from? It was part of the natural. That was his kinfolks is wanting to kill him. You know, it was part of the family that had grown out in that time. I had a man tell me one time, said, well, God must have created other men besides Adam and Eve, and that's where all those people came from, and that's where the wives for Cain and all those other people come from. I said, no, that can't be true. They said, why can't that be true? Because if that was true, they would not be under the curse of Adam's sin. So it was his relatives that were seeking to kill him. But there was a time, my point is, there was hundreds of years in there, probably, a few hundred years. And same here when we get to Genesis chapter 6. Hundreds and hundreds of years had passed by since creation. And man had degenerated. Now this thing that this world calls evolution, things get better and better, they got everything backwards. In this world, in this life, everything gets worse unless there is a superior force from the outside to make it better. I mean, you can take a brand new car and you can set it outside, and what's going to happen to it? It's not, I could take, you know, my nice little Toyota outside, and if I leave it for a couple of hundred years, when I come back, do you think I'm going to have a brand new Mercedes-Benz? No, I'm going to have an old, rusty, broken down Toyota. Things go down. And that had happened in society, and it still happens in society, without some intervention by a superior outside force such as God, things will always get worse. So things got worse. God said, I'm going to destroy this earth. I'm going to destroy mankind that I have made. I'm going to destroy, wipe them out. And then along comes verse 8. I love verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Why, if all mankind was so wicked and evil, why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, you reckon that maybe just Noah just happened to be such a wonderful person, and he worshiped and served God, and he was such an outstanding moral person and all that. You reckon that's why that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? If you say that's got to be what it is, you don't understand grace. Noah found grace in God's eyes because God chose to give grace to Noah. Nothing in Noah deserved the grace that God was giving him. You have to understand a distinction between grace and works. If God had showed favor to Noah and led Noah to build the ark because Noah was such an outstanding person, because he was such a righteous person, it wouldn't have been grace. It would have been by works. You remember what Paul said back over in Romans chapter 11? If you look over in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, and it says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What does all that mean? You know what that verse means that Paul just said? It's one of two things. It's grace or it's works. One of the two. It can't be both. It's got to be grace or it's got to be works. So what did Noah receive? Grace. And the good things that Noah did was because of the grace that God had given him and showed unto him. So, and you know the story, this wonderful story we have of the Lord coming to Noah and telling him that the Lord is going to destroy this earth by water and to build this ark, this humongous edifice, this big structure, this ark. And can you imagine what Noah's next door neighbors thought when he began to build that ark in his backyard? I mean, this big old ark, and they would come out there. What are you doing? Now, this isn't scripture. This is the fairy's commentary, which I don't wholly recommend at all. But they would come out and ask, what are you doing? I'm building a way to save my family when the flood happens. Well, what's a flood? All this, where's the water going to come from? It's going to rain. What's that? Now, you and I right now in West Texas are beginning to ask what rain is. But those people had never seen rain. It had never rained upon the face of the earth at that time. And he said it's going to rain, and it's going to be so much that the water is going to cover the earth. You know what they thought about Noah? Oh, this guy's loony. And I imagine the majority of the people in Noah's day thought he was crazy. But let me tell you something. If you're serving God, it doesn't make any difference what your neighbors say. Noah was following the Lord's commands, and it made no difference what anybody else said in the world. He may have been ostracized. He may have been kicked out of every social club, shunned. I mean, all these horrible things may have happened to him in society, but he was still doing God's work. He was still going in the right path. So just because your friends may think you're a little bit strange because you go to church every Sunday and you pray all the time and you talk about the Lord and they think you're weird because you're a follower of Christ and you think God is the answer to all the problems in this world and they think you're weird, that's fine. Just smile and go on. It don't make any difference what anybody thinks about you, but God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Whatever Noah did, it was because of the grace that he had received. Now I'm going to quote a great American statesman right here. And this is almost Bible, but these are words that come from a great American statesman. I'm going to get over here close to the Bible verse because you're going to want me to read this right after I quote this great American statesman. The great American statesman I want to quote, and I've heard him all my life quote it, make this statement, Popeye the Sailor Man. All right, y'all remember him, don't you? And all his wise sayings, I am what I am. Y'all remember that? Popeye always saying, I am what I am. Well, you know that's Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. But, this is what Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Noah was what he was by the grace of God. And I want to tell you something. You and I are the same way. We have received grace just like Noah. Did we deserve the grace that we've received from God? No. God looked down upon our lives, and it's just like when he looked down in Noah's day and age and ever thought of man was only evil continually. When he looked down upon you and I, we were in the same condition. But God had grace upon us. Why did God have grace upon you? Why did God have grace upon you and me and everybody else that's in this room? That's a good question. Because he wanted to. Why did he want to? I mean, why would he choose us to be his beloved children? I don't know, but it's nothing but grace. And God has showered grace upon our lives and blessed us abundantly. So what can we say? I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, we know what Noah did. He built that ark. And then let's see this, some of these instructions upon building that ark. Verse 14 says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Wait a minute, did I forget something? Did I forget that I was supposed to explain to you what atonement was and show you where atonement was here in Genesis chapter 6? I just read it. That Hebrew word that's translated atonement over in Exodus chapter 29 and verse 33 is contained right here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Same word, same Hebrew word. What is it? Pitch. Now, you remember I told you this law of biblical interpretation about the law of first mention? So here's the first mention of this particular word in the Hebrew. And it's translated here, pitch. So what was Noah told to do? He was told to build this ark of gopher wood. And then he was to take some pitch. And he was to cover that thing with this pitch inside and out. Now that makes sense to you and I, doesn't it? You know, you're going to take all this wood and build something that's supposed to float and not sink. And you want to make sure it's sealed good, don't you? You don't want to let the water in. You don't want to have any opening where the water could come into that boat. You know, that ark was just like the church. You know, you build an ark, you know, it can be in the ocean and everything's fine until the ocean gets inside the boat. Well, the church is in the world, and as long as the world is outside, we're fine. But when the world gets inside the church, that's when we have problems. Now, he was to pitch that boat inside and out. This pitch was like a tar. Some people described it like an asphalt. But what he was to do was cover that entire boat inside and out with this pitch. So what does atonement mean? It means a covering. That's what atonement means. It's a covering, a complete covering. Now, I'm going to speed things up because I promised I would be through early. And I'm about to run out of early time. Now, go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're still talking about the ark. In 2 Peter chapter 2, in 2 Peter, Peter is describing why and telling the people he's writing to, don't get discouraged. God has made promises, and he will keep his promises. Now, we get discouraged in this time, this life, because we keep waiting for God to zap the disobedient. We keep waiting for God to destroy the wicked, don't we? I mean, we know that they're wrong. We know God knows that they're wrong. And we sit here wondering why God doesn't destroy them off the face of the earth. Or we see the sick among us that are righteous and say, why does God allow that to happen? Well, Peter is describing and answering some of these questions. And he's talking about the second coming of the Lord and his justice upon wickedness. And here in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter is assuring the readers that God will judge sin. So notice what he said in verse 5. Here's one of the times that God judged wickedness. And just as he judged wickedness back then, he'll do it again. He says, been spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. There's all other descriptions here of other events that God did when he judged unrighteousness. But here Noah, in that ark, when the world was judged by God and the flood happened and all the world was destroyed, all mankind was drowned and died, all the animals that were on the ark drowned and died, the world, everything that was not in that ark was destroyed. But Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives and the animals that were on that dark, on that ark, they survived. Why? Why did they survive? Because of the atonement. Because of the covering. They were in that ark. It was covered with that pitch. It made it waterproof. And they survived that flood because they were covered and they were safe. Now, let's think about this in light of you and I. You and I have received grace from God. And there is coming a day. There is coming a day of judgment upon the face of this earth. I don't know when it's going to be. Might be this afternoon. It might be a year from now. It might be 10 years from now. It might be 100 years from now. I don't know. And neither do you. And neither does anybody else that claims they know. But it's coming. That's the reason 2 Peter is written, to assure us. It's coming. It's coming. Just as surely in that 100 years or so that Noah was building his ark, he knew it was coming. We know it's coming. But we're safe. Why are you and I safe? Because of the atonement. Because we are covered. We are covered. And we're safe from that destruction. Now that ark was covered with pitch. We're covered with something else. We're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our covering. That is our atonement. Is the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. When all of the wicked world outside is destroyed, you and I are going to be safe because we're covered. We've received grace at the hand of God, and we're covered by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can be like Simeon of old. You remember back over in Luke chapter 2, Simeon. An older man had been told by the Spirit that he should not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when Jesus was born, and they came and they laid that baby in his arms, the baby Jesus in his arms, you remember what Simeon said? Let now thy servant depart in peace. For I've seen the Lord's salvation. Friends, you and I have seen the Lord's salvation. By an eye of faith, we know that we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us be in peace because of the atonement and what our Savior has done for us. May God bless you.